If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
Donate and listen to the podcast at wrwl.org.
Hey, and we're back at the top of the hour. My name is Randy Gay. I'm the deacon with Pastor Ernie Sanders, and a lot of you know me for calling in on the donation line, and thank you ever so much for that. I'm being helped tonight, or shall I be, say, being lifted and carried along tonight by two colleagues that occasionally join the ministry, Pastor Joe Larson and also Chaplain John McTernan, and it's such a blessing to be with both of you tonight. So let's continue, John. Go ahead and finish it out.
Yeah, what I wanted to say is every time Arafat came to the United States to involved in dividing the land of Israel, there was a disaster. It either was a stock market crash, a hurricane, that massive tornado storm. I'm trying to think of earthquakes. There were earthquakes, but not. I don't know about Arafat touching, you know, coming to the United States. But yes, there was always some sort of a disaster when Arafat stepped foot on the United States.
You know, that makes me realize, though, John, that even back then, the media basically censored things. They really did. I mean, you know, these connections weren't made. And then I can't remember the date or what precipitated it, but remember, Texas got 2 feet of rain, and Bush got Bush had some issues too.
Yeah, sure, both junior and senior,
yeah,
had issues. Absolutely, yes.
Yeah, they. I mean, can you imagine 2 feet of rain? And we're not talking about snow. That would be 20 feet of snow is what that would be, because 1 inch of rain is 10 inches of snow. So I'm saying, but 2 inches of rain, and I mean, Texas was basically drowned in that. And remember, the other storm with Bush was that it went up to Kennebunkport and basically wiped out his home there. And it's interesting to me that Texas was Bush's home state and Kennebunkport was his summer home. And the same way with Clinton. Clinton's from Arkansas. I mean, it's very specific how God directed these disasters at where these guys lived or where they were serving.
Yes, you're absolutely right.
I want to throw something here because
that's all in my book.
Pastors had a perfect opportunity to do some teaching here, and they didn't. If you look at the book of Job, the last part of chapter 36 and the first part of chapter 37 is all about the weather, you know, the drops of water that, you know, the rain, he maketh the small drops of water pour down according to the vapor, water vapor. He knew about greenhouse gas all the way through about the rain and the snow and the clouds. And here's the key. And verse 12 of chapter 37, Job, and it is turned round about by his counsels, God's, that they may do whatsoever he commandeth them upon the face of the world in the earth. He causes it to come, whether for correction or for his land or for mercy. The first part was he causes it to come for correction. There is a whole sermon right there, and the churches were not preaching, were not teaching what God had written. To me, that's about as plain as you get, right?
That's very true. You know, who can deny that? Who can deny that?
And I just thought that when I was hearing about all these, no, these weren't things that happened by accident. God is the one that makes it quite clear that the weather does whatsoever he commandeth them, the rain, the snow, the wind, and all that, them. He commands it. So we know that this is from God. Whenever these are not coincidences at all.
So true.
We get the situation today. What I want to look at, John, what do you think? What are, you know, you were talking about, you guys are praying. I, like you, am worried that God is going to bring some big judgment with what Biden is trying to
do to
Israel today. Headlines right now, Biden demands immediate ceasefire in hour-long call to Netanyahu. You know, they made a mistake. It had a bad airstrike. Then the other, Israelis fear Biden's intolerable ceasefire demand means victory for Hamas. And I'm going, God is not going to let anything happen to Israel until he's ready for it to happen. And if we're interfering, he's going to come after us, isn't he?
Absolutely. This is very serious. Israel is not a nation that is completely different than any other nation on earth. And Jerusalem is different as a city than any other on earth. Israel had been out of existence as a nation for like 1900 years, from 70 AD to 1948. What nation has been out of existence, and actually twice during the Babylonian captivity,
right?
Starting at 586 BC, or actually 606 BC, to 536 BC, and Israel came back and rebuilt Jerusalem, and the temple was destroyed, and the city was destroyed. They rebuilt it. They did it now after 1900 years with the Romans. They speak Hebrew like they did 2,000 years ago. They have shekels for money like they had 2,000 years ago. And the explanation for that is God made a covenant with Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and their descendants over the land. And then with Jerusalem, there's all sorts of prophecy in Scripture about what God's going to do with Jerusalem in the end times. And Christ, when he returns, he's returning to Jerusalem during a major battle. Part of it is the Battle of Armageddon. And he's going to destroy all the nations that have come against Jerusalem. So there's this God's prophetic word centers on Israel, Jerusalem, and the people of the nation. He has a covenant with them, and it's very serious to tamper with this, Brother Joe and Randy.
That's right. You know, remember, I'll bless them that bless you and curse them that curse you. And this all kind of falls back in listening to you talk about that which was is that which shall be. You know, it's coming back again, around and around.
The prophetic word of God by the prophets predicted that, going back to Moses, that Israel would be scattered into all the nations because of sin. However, God would not break that covenant with Abraham. He'd bring them back into the land. They would become a nation prior to the second coming of Jesus Christ. Jerusalem would again be the capital prior to the second coming of Jesus Christ. There was going to be a major war there. After the war, Israel is going to rebuild the temple just like they had 2,000 years ago. And then Israel is going to go into the tribulation period, as the Bible describes it. And at the end of that, they are going to turn to Jesus Christ as their Messiah.
That's right.
Well, we know Donald Trump, just what? He returned the capital to Jerusalem. This is near history. And if I am correct, the Bible also says, as you do unto Israel, so it shall be done unto you. Now, that makes me a little nervous for this country with Biden at the helm right now.
Well, remember, the other thing is that back during the Clinton administration, they had made the decree that the capital in Israel was going to be removed from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, and Clinton wouldn't do it. And it's interesting to see.
Also trying to sell land for peace.
Right, that's what I was going to say. Yeah,
says, the land is mine, and it shall not be bought. Kushner sold, right?
That's right. And I'm saying that Clinton didn't go along with that. And, I mean, it's interesting that he got a good shellacking.
Did Well, let's talk about George Bush Jr. We know what happened with Sr. His home was destroyed in Kennebunkport, Maine, right at the time he started, the very day he started the Madrid peace process, and then he was removed from office. And then with Jr., he was the one that forced Ariel Sharon, the prime minister of Israel, to pull out of Gaza and give the land to the Palestinians. And right as he was doing that, Hurricane Katrina hit New Orleans.
That's right. That's right. Well, that was one of the things that we were going to,
So, I mean, but both Biden, excuse me, both Bushes, whacked from God. But also, I want to tie this in, right when Katrina hit, it was at the start of Southern Decadence, which is a homosexual event that takes place Labor Day in New Orleans. It's called Southern Decadence.
And a big, big sodomite parade, right?
That's right. Well, that's isn't that the biggest one in America? I think it's bigger than San Francisco.
It's one of the biggest. It's called Southern Decadence.
Yeah. Yeah, to me, the whole thing. Well, John, let me ask you this. Where do you think this is going? And it just, and obviously nobody knows, but just in your own estimation, speculate like the time period that, like, you know what I'm saying, where we're headed with this thing.
Well, I believe we're heading to the wars that the Bible described. There's going to be a huge war before we know what we know as Armageddon, and it's going to be over Jerusalem. And keep in mind, all this stuff about Palestinian rights in Gaza and Israel is an oppressor, and all it's all nonsense. And I've exposed much of this, where Hamas itself says they're not fighting for Palestinian rights. They're fighting for Jerusalem. That's what this battle is about. Now, here in the West, with the United States, you don't hear a word about that, but you said that the Palestinians are oppressed, and Hamas are like freedom fighters and all of this. But if you follow Hamas's writings, they have said that that's nonsense, literally, that their battle is over Jerusalem. That's right out of the prophetic word of God.
It sure is.
Exactly. So, and back in 2005, they were given complete autonomy.
Yes.
Israel said, okay, make your own government, do your own thing. We're backing off. We'll supply some water, some electricity, but you are now, you elect your own leaders, and the people voted to elect Hamas. They had the Palestinian Liberation Organization, but they voted Hamas in. And they have put up with Hamas taking all the money. Now, you've got to understand, all those people in Gaza had got to know that they were building tunnels with all this cement, steel, and all this stuff coming in, people digging, all the work to build 300 miles of tunnels. It didn't happen without the people knowing what was going on, you know?
And, oh, sure.
So they knew that a lot of the money that was meant for them was going to Hamas, supplying, stockpiling weapons, digging tunnels, you know, building bunkers, all this military stuff. The people that lived there had to know, because a lot of them had to do the work, the digging be part of it. And so we know that, you know, these people are not innocent, naive, poor Palestinian people. They're part of it.
You know, the other thing that I like to kind of throw this in as a side eddy about Gaza is that rumor has it that they've got either natural gas or oil over there. And I find it interesting, because if you look back in Genesis at the land, if I'm not mistaken, they talk about Asher shall dip his toe in oil and his boots shall be iron and brass, which happened to be what the bits that are made of that they drill for oil with. Now, I'm just throwing this out there. Imagine if they find the mother load or a substantial amount of oil and gas in Gaza, or they know it already and they have it there. The issue that that's going to create worldwide.
Well, they had autonomy. They could have started drilling it. The Jews wouldn't have stopped them from that. They gave them full autonomy.
Yeah.
In fact, they were hoping that they would live in peace, that they would turn their ocean front and invite tourists and, you know, let people come to that fabulous, beautiful beach. I mean, Israel was very hopeful that these people would use it for their own benefit and prosper, and that would take away some of the hate and violence. But like Big John says, that wasn't what Hamas and even the, if you look back at the old Palestinian Liberation Charter, I've got a copy of it, it was still the what? Destruction of the State of Israel. Back then with the Palestinian Liberation, Arafat, same thing that Hamas has. Nothing was changed except the way it was worded, right?
Well, that's right. And they all seem to do the same thing, you know? They have the same agenda. They all do. And their methodology is the same. Literally, the brutality and the violence and the wiping out of the people. That's what they do.
One thing to keep in mind with this is after the 67-day war, Israel had gained control of Gaza. Before that, it was under Egypt. Control. So in 1973 or 74, when Israel gave back the Sinai to Egypt, part of the peace deal, Egypt would not take Gaza. They wouldn't take Gaza. They knew the trouble that would be there with it. They would not take Gaza. So Israel was stuck with it. That's how Israel gained. Israel didn't like usurp and steal and Gaza. Their own brethren, the Egyptians, didn't want Gaza. And part of the deal was Israel would take Gaza.
That's very interesting. I didn't know that, you know, and it's kind of funny because, like I said, we've all kind of lived through these events, but you don't keep track of them. And then obviously the media... Yeah, it shelters us from what's really going on, if you will. It's shelter censors is a better word.
Oh, of course. Well, I'm looking at right now in my hand, 1964, the PLO Charter. And it says it's the homeland of these Palestinian Arabs. Its boundaries, and it goes on, about has the legal right to its homeland when liberation of the homeland is complete. Exercise self-determination according to its own will and choice. And then you start reading through Article 9. Armed struggle is the only way to liberate Palestine and is therefore a strategy, not a tactic. The Palestinian Arab people affirm its absolute resolution and abiding determination to pursue armed struggle, march forward toward the armed popular revolution to liberate the homeland. That was in Article 9. Article 14, it's talking about the very destiny of the Arab nation and going on, you know, to the struggle. It's a national duty to repulse the Zionists. Article 15, liberation of Palestine is a natural duty to repulse Zionist imperialist invasion from the great Arab homeland, to purge the Zionist presence from all of Palestine. And they claim all of Israel. And you go on down, look, Article 21, 22, 23, consider Zionism as an illegitimate movement, prohibit its very existence. And I skip several things. It's all the same thing. Prohibit Israel's existence. This was back in 1964, and do you hear any of these idiots on the talking heads on Fox News or anywhere? Oh, the poor Palestinian people. If I have a copy of it, I'm out here in the middle of nowhere in Missouri, and I have a copy of this stuff. I wonder why Fox News, with all its money and resources, can't seem to find this kind of stuff, John. And tell the whole thing is to eliminate the Jews from the Holy Land, period.
Right. And they're not going to do it because of that covenant. God has a covenant. He's called them back in the land. and they're back in the land before the second coming of Jesus Christ. Now, I have the Hamas covenant. We're going to update from 64 to 88. It's called the Covenant of Islamic Resistance Movement, and the name is Hamas. It's not an Arabic word. The name of it is Hamas. August 18, 1988, the preamble, in the name of the most merciful Allah, Israel will exist and will continue to exist until Islam will obliterate it, just as it obliterated others before it. Article 7, the Islamic resistance movement aspires, to the realization of Allah's promise, no matter how long it should take. The Prophet has said the day of judgment will not come until the Muslims fight the Jews, killing the Jews, when the Jew will hide behind stones and trees. The stones and trees will say, "O Muslim, O Abdullah, there is a Jew behind me. Come and kill him.
Come and kill him." Amen.
Well, now this goes on down.
John,
and then
it goes on and on, but you don't hear this from the pulpits. You don't hear preachers.
Telling
it like it is. You don't hear the news media telling it like it is. You don't hear the government telling us the truth. Everybody skirts around the stuff that's written, and here it is, like I said, you find it, I can find it, it's out there, and nobody wants to talk about it and tell the truth. That's what makes me so mad. It's easily acceptable if you go looking, right?
But, you know, the media also, I think, has the hidden agenda of this, is that for history's sake, a lot of this isn't done so that 25 years from now, they can talk about the atrocities, the lies, and whatever, all the negative things, and they'll say that it didn't happen. You follow what I'm saying? That's what they want to do, I think, is that they don't want this kind of recorded. They don't want the things done so that they can say it didn't happen. And I go back to that was why Eisenhower made the people in Europe take part in liberating the people from the death camps there. Because he said, and I can't say it over the air exactly what he said, but he said some certain type of people would say that these things didn't happen, and that's why he made them help liberate them. He made them help bury them, restore them from the death camps, and he had them film it because he said that people would say that it didn't happen.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
Yeah.
But we have these copies, like I said, I have these books, and it has the stuff in them, and I'm sure John has sources too, right?
There's something I'd like to add to this. In the Hamas Covenant, Article 32 and 35, I'm not going to read them because they're kind of long, but it's against Zionism. So I want to share three of many scriptures in the Bible about Zion.
Sure.
Isaiah 34:8. For it is the day of the Lord's vengeance, the year of recompenses for the controversy of Zion. The Lord is going to defend Israel, and that it is the day of the Lord's vengeance. That is the day of the Lord. That is the second coming of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And the Bible is calling that battle the controversy of Zion. Zion is a good name. Zionism is good, according to the scriptures. Psalm 69:35. For God will save Zion and will build the cities of Judah, that they may dwell there and have it in their possession. And the last one.
I'm sorry, that was Psalm 69?
Yeah, Psalm 69:35.
Okay.
And the last one is Psalm 129:5. Let them be confounded and turn back that hate Zion.
129:35.
No, just 5. 129:5.
Oh, 129:5. Okay. A lot of the listeners out there, we've told them over and over when they're listening to this program, it's a good idea to have paper and pencil. You can write down a lot of things and take notes. And
hopefully they are.
Enough, I like to have it repeated because I figure if I can't do it, a lot of the listeners probably couldn't either.
That's right.
Yeah. All right. Well, let me go over that again. It's Psalm 34:8, yeah. Psalm 69:35, and Psalm 129:5, all about Zion.
Zion,
what the Bible says about it.
Mm-hmm. And you go back to the PLO charter, that's the destruction of Zion. You were saying Hamas. And I'll bet if we got, I haven't looked up the Hezbollah, but I imagine it says the same thing there, right?
Well, I tried to, Hezbollah admits they have a covenant, but they haven't released it.
I haven't seen it either. I thought maybe it was just maybe I couldn't find it, but it might not be available.
They didn't release it.
That is absolutely amazing.
Well, they wanted a two-state solution, right? Biden kept pushing Netanyahu, and yet, you know, God in Scripture, in the Old Testament, the Jews were not to sell or give up one bit of the promised land, right?
That's right.
Given up part of it, and if they give up more of it, it's going to be, I think, real trouble and probably a warning about the second coming of Christ, because that would be one of the big motivations for the end times prophecy, wouldn't it?
Oh, yeah. The Christ coming is when the land is under siege.
That's right.
And all the armies of the world are converging there at Armageddon, but it's also going to be Jerusalem. So
but
that's
if Israel
is
weakened, if they give up more land for peace, it's just going to make that come even faster, right?
Well, think about it. The other thing is that Ezekiel says that Gog and Magog will come to take a spoil, too. So I think that there's going to be something very desirable to the nations in the world.
Well, yes, because it says there in Ezekiel 38 that they're coming to take a great spoil.
A spoil, yes. Yeah. So that's why I was wondering about, if nothing else, finding a... Because think about this. What if the mother load of the oil in the Middle East is in Gaza or somewhere over there?
Just off the coast is what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
You know, we do offshore drilling and just off the coast.
Well, see, I need to see a map because he says that he shall dip his toe. And if you look at the territory of Asher, it's kind of shaped like Italy, like a foot. And there is a toe there. You know what I mean? You can see where there, you know, conceptually there's a toe there, and who really? I'm speculating just from the little that I know, and that could be. But like I said, they're going to come to take a spoil. They're not going to just come down there to take that little strip of land. There's got to be something there that's just going to be.
Wait a minute. There's more there than the eye meets because when Israel took over in 48, they started reclaiming the land, and they've taken the desert and turned it back, and now they have herds of cattle, they have forests, they have farms, they have raising crops, they have gardens. They said it improved the land so much it even changed the weather.
No, the weather, yeah, because did you know that the rain has increased pretty much every year since they've been back there? The rain has, the rainfall.
Right, because they've changed the land by irrigation, by growing trees, by the fields and everything they've done. So they've turned the desert into a profitable, valuable land. They raise more food than all of their neighbors put together.
And they're famous for their citrus. I mean, the citrus that comes out of there is unreal.
Now, see, that right there is another thing that's in this world right now. What is right now, food is in short supply. It's very valuable.
Yeah.
So then you have another way to look at it. You know, there's something the Arabs want, food.
Well, that's exactly right. And the Arabs also just, they want an economy, but at the same time, because their kingdoms pretty much, the kingdom, the families usurp all the profitability in their lands. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like it trickles down. Now, guys, we got a minute before our break in the hour here, at the bottom of the hour. So,
got any quick thoughts, John?
Well, things are moving. God's prophetic word is out in front of us right now. We see it. the battle of Jerusalem is before us. We can't keep, we've got to get our eyes off Gaza and look at what is the actual cause of the fighting in Gaza, and that is Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. They, Hamas attacked Israel because of Jerusalem. So this is the prophetic word is leaping right off the Bible, right in front of our eyes. Israel is a nation. Jerusalem's the capital. They speak Hebrew. They have shekels for money. And now there's this huge war developing there.
We got 5 seconds. We got 5 seconds. If you could hold it right there, we'll come back.
Well, there's people on the left and people on the right, and there's people that's in between. You better hope you're right when you leave this life and bow before the King of Kings. Bow before the King of Kings.
Some say I'm a little bit too far right when I write and sing my song. But on Judgment Day before God's throne, I'd rather be right than wrong. Lord, I'd rather be right than wrong.
You say no one murdered more than Hitler did. Most people would say that's true. But over 50 million babies that were never born might disagree with you. Yeah, they might disagree with you.
Some say I'm a little bit too far right when I write and sing my song. But on Judgment Day before God's throne,
we're back at the bottom of the hour, and we have with us John McTiernan, Chaplain John McTiernan, who all our regular listeners have heard all of us. You've heard John, you've heard Pastor Joe Larson, and myself, Randy Gay. We're covering for Pastor Ernie Sanders while he is on vacation, and he'll be back. So for those of you, when you heard us on there and you said, oh, man, it'll be all right on Monday. Okay. Okay.
Hey, I want to start something off with one quote, and then I want to ask John and you a question. In Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 9, uh-huh. The thing that hath been is that which shall be, and that which is done is that which shall be done, mm-hmm. And there is no new thing under the sun. Is there anything whereof it may be said, see, this is new, it hath already been of old time, which was before us. Kind of covers a lot of this stuff that's been going on since Jesus walks the streets there in Jerusalem, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, when I think about it, and rolling it back to Easter week, is it like if you look at it as a murder plot and a plot to cover up, come on, the government plotted to kill the guy who was, and then you had people that they were afraid of their power being taken, people afraid of their money being taken, and it didn't matter that the guy was doing miracles and good and all of these things. It's like, we're going to lose our position because the Jews were afraid that if they lost control, the Romans were going to take it from them. The Romans didn't like the idea that since their whole threat of conquering people was death, and here comes a guy talking about eternal life and resurrection, you can't have that. You can't, you know.
Yes.
You know?
Kind of, in a way, a parable to today's world with the whole
right.
deep state fearing Donald Trump, who wants to take away their corruption, their power, their positions, their money, and give the power back to the people. And we see the same thing in a form. But my question is, I'm looking at some headlines. One of the big headlines is Chinese weapons found in Gaza. Yep, found with Hamas. IDF found Chinese military equipment, Hamas warehouses, assault rifles, grenade launchers, telescopic sights, cartridges, high-end communication, listening device, tactical radios, sophisticated explosives. Chinese rocket technology was found in a weapons lab. But just this last January, China denied providing Hamas with military equipment, you know, although they found it all over the place. I'm looking at pictures of it, you know, yada, yada, yada. So anyway, we know China's involved. We know Russia has been working with Iran, and we have China working with now Russia, North Korea, Iran. They're forming the new axis of evil. And one of the headlines today by Joseph Watson, Paul Joseph Watson, NATO countries will have to send troops to Ukraine or accept a catastrophic defeat. Former State Department consultant makes alarming claim. State Department consultant Edward Ludowick says that NATO countries will have to send soldiers to Ukraine or accept a catastrophic defeat. That Britain and France are already making preparations to do. I saw some other articles where they were talking about it. France and Germany are talking about, yeah, they might have to send troops, and all of a sudden they're starting to get ready. Norway, Sweden are telling the people to begin military training. There's all kinds of activity happening in these countries. Countries that weren't NATO are joining the membership. They're kind of starting to get scared and start preparing for war. And I'm wondering, John, do you have any thoughts on how this is going to coalesce with what is happening right now with Israel and Hamas and Hezbollah?
Yeah, this is what the Bible talks about, wars and rumors of wars. Nations shall rise against nation.
Yeah.
But look, this is a setup. Let me tell you why it's a setup. Notice how Germany, France, and all the other countries, they are cutting back on supplying Ukraine.
Right.
You notice that?
Yeah, they're cutting back.
At the
same
time,
thinking about sending troops. It doesn't make sense, right?
Right.
But it does in a way. Think about this. They want Ukraine to be in NATO, which means that we are committed to defending them. And so maybe France and England are saying once they're in, the Americans will absorb it, the costs and all that, like we always do.
That's a thought.
Yeah, let me show you the big picture on this. They've written, they meaning the New World Order, wrote back in the like late 1990s, that the best scenario for them would be a war between Russia and the Ukraine, that we supply Ukraine with all sorts of high-tech equipment that
right.
Russia can't manage, that Ukraine will bleed Russia, tremendously bleed out Russia, and when they bled Russia out, the West will attack. And what is happening right now? They bled Russia out.
Yeah.
It's like most of the Russian tanks have been destroyed. Their airplanes have been shot. They've had all sorts of ships and submarines sunk by Ukraine. So now they hold back on the supplies to the Ukraine. So the Ukraine is weaker, and it can't. It appears that Russia's going to win now. What are we going to do? Well, we're going to raise it. And you notice it's not NATO saying this. It's France, Germany, Holland saying this.
Mm-hmm.
They're saying it. It's not NATO. So this is the plan now. This is the New World Order plan. It's been in, their goal has been since at least the late 1990s, maybe before. And now it's in play where they are heading for, they're going to provoke Russia now into a war that Russia can't win, and it's going to end up nuclear.
It very could well be, because one of the things, though, that they didn't consider, we're also bled down like Russia. We've been sending rockets to stop the attack of the Houthis and the ships. We've been sending armaments to Israel. We've been expending our weapons. We're down right now. We're short on all kinds of munitions, missiles, rockets. Some of our aircraft are in need of downtime repairs that they haven't been able to do. We're not able to keep four aircraft carriers on the sea at one time. And in Biden's last, I don't know if you know this, in the big bill that was passed for the budget, the Navy said they are going to have to stop production of shipping for two whole years, there's no money, so the Department of the Navy will stop producing ships. At the same time, China is building carrier after carrier, ship after ship, and we are the ones that right now are hurting from this drain on Ukraine and the war in the Middle East and a few other places there. We're the ones that are down out of munitions, planes, and bullets.
And, I mean, when you think about how many years, consecutive years, have we been at war?
Many with the
world. Yeah.
You know. None when Trump was president.
Well, that's true. We had a four-year break. Yeah, you're right. But, you know what I'm saying? We've got to be a battle-weary nation. You have to be.
We are. We're also a broke, battle-weary
nation. That's right.
We're broke. We're, like I said, in our... Our fact, we're down, like, a lot of these missiles, these high-tech missiles, we're way behind. They said it's going to take, it would take a miracle to get caught up. It would take a huge infusion of money. We don't have the money. It's being spent on taking care of the illegal immigrants. It's being providing their food, housing, medicine, education. It's going to the new green deal, giving away billions of dollars to cronies of Biden's to do this, produce green energy that won't work in the long run, make EVs that nobody wants. So we're wasting all the money that we could be putting in defense to really do something to help America. That money's being squandered. Our treasure's being squandered. Our soldiers, you know, tired of battle, don't want to fight in Biden's military. Nobody wants to join the new woke military. Plus, the military is short on personnel, training, and weapons and aircraft and ships. So we're in a mess, folks.
We are. We're in a mess looking at World War III.
Yeah, and if it does come to a war, John, we're in a mess, right?
And that's all by design. Everything is being designed out, Brother Joe. The New World Order wants us greatly weakened and Russia greatly weakened.
Right.
And both countries will slip into the void.
Hmm. And why do you think they want us weakened? I think a lot of people are shaking their heads right now. I have an idea, but I want you to tell us, why do you think they want us so weakened?
Because we're too powerful, too independent, too powerful. And they want to rule the world, and they can't do it with America as it's structured.
So once we're a third world country, then they can cement their new world order.
Right. That's what you see. Why is the border wide open? They want to turn us into Mexico
mm-hmm.
with a very small, rich class tiny middle class and a huge poor poverty clinic that is
can
completely
be controlled,
under control of the government.
Exactly. We've been warning about that. They want to get rid of the middle class. I've been talking for years, told people a Cloward-Priven strategy. You overload the economy. You overload everything, the local city government, state governments, federal governments. You go into debt, and you have until things collapse. You run it until it runs in the ground and collapse. And once it collapses, then you can have your revolution and restore that new world order, come in with a strong man government to take control, because you've destroyed the middle class. And what you have is only the upper middle class, the very rich, and everybody else then will be totally dependent on government after the collapse, correct?
Yeah, that sounds like a plan.
That's exactly right.
That sounds like a plan to me. It really does. And that's.
And what do you tell the people that are listening that say, you guys right now are scary, you're kind of depressing me?
Well, you know, what we'd like to do is scare you enough to do something about it, because they don't want to even believe it. Nobody's at the point yet to where, and you know, and I'm saying that the dominant opinion is, that can't happen to us, you know?
It's happening right before our eyes.
I agree, but the dominant opinion is that's not going to happen here. That, you know, it's always that they won't let that happen. Well,
I don't know who they is, but they are fomenting this.
I agree.
It's the ones that are behind it. They've got the power right now, and they're using that power to destroy the nation right before our very eyes.
Exactly. Do you think that if we get Donald Trump in there, he will be able to put a halt to some of this?
But I think very little, because he's only got 4 years. And the other thing is that he's going to have to virtually revamp the government. And we're talking about just there a couple 300,000 jobs and people. And then think about this. You've got
300,000. You're talking what? The federal government now is bloated over, what is it? 5 million?
5 million, like, yeah. But I'm just saying, in his inner circle, he'd have to get a couple 300,000 people. And in 4 years, he can't do it in 4 years. He can't fix this in 4 years. Can't do it.
Yeah.
You know, and aside from the fact that, like, think about this. He's going to have to take people out of power, and a lot of those people you're going to have to bring to justice. And it's just, and then to justice to their judges. It's like the whole thing is a mess already.
So in Scripture, one thing I've noticed, every time that it looked like it was totally hopeless, that's when God has stepped in and done something.
Yeah.
And what we need is a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon our nation. We've had him in the past, great outpourings that shook the very foundation of the nation. We need it again.
We need it again, but the people have to realize, each and every person out there has to realize they have to repent, because what's the old saying? We've sinned by things we thought, by things we've done, and by the things that we have left undone. And this is the big sin that almost all Christians have. Many things God called us to do: run to the battle, fight the fight, reprove, rebuke. All these different things that were not done by a sleeping church that was apathetic. And if the church repents and starts to realize that we have to stand and be Christian soldiers and go out and do like he has commanded us, then God can send the Holy Spirit for a revival, right?
Right. Fellas, we're inside of 5 minutes. Who wants to close it out?
John, would you like to do the invitation tonight?
I think you're better at the short time with me than me, brother.
Okay. All right. Randy, would you like to, or do you want me to?
No, you do. I agree with John. I you know that we've run into the closeout every time with me. You can do it. Go ahead.
All right.
Take us home.
Well, the simple thing is, God wants no one to go to hell. He wants everyone to be saved, everyone to come to him, because we're all important to him. But unfortunately, he knew before he made creation who would accept his offer of salvation. And he's waiting for some of you to fulfill what he already knows. He knows what you're going to do. But our job is to tell you how to get to heaven, and it's the Holy Spirit that will convict your heart, that will turn you to God, because the simple truth is there's only one way to heaven. You don't get it by being religious. You don't get it by being church-going. You don't get it by belonging to a, you know, denomination just because you're Catholic or Baptist or whatever. You can't get to heaven because you've done good works because, well, I've lived a clean, moral life. I hear that. I'm a good person. No. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, every single one of us. And there's only one way, and that's Jesus' way. John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father unless he goes by me, what Jesus said. But he also said, but as many as received him, Christ, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And he made it quite clear that, as he told Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So, we know he's telling us we have to be born again. Now, he's referring to a spiritual rebirth. We have to be reborn spiritually. And to do that, we have to, well, the first word that Jesus said in his ministry was, repent. For the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent. We have to call upon the Father and repent of our sins. Now, not just by words. We can't just say words. We have to actually repent means to want to turn around. It's in a military term, it's almost like about face. We have to leave the life of sin and turn and go toward God, toward him. And we have to call upon him and say, forgive me, for I have sinned. My sins put his son, your son, God, on that cross. My sins put him there. Forgive me. I am a lousy, miserable sinner. And if we really do that with a repentant heart, God will forgive us. And then all we have to do is ask Jesus Christ to be our Lord, you know, to be the Messiah, to be our Savior. That I want to personally give myself to you, Lord Jesus. I want you to be Lord of my life, all of my life. I want to become a son or daughter of the living God, a child of the kingdom. I want to be this born-again believer.
We're inside of 1 minute.
And Jesus will hear you, just like the Father hears you repent. He will hear you call upon him. He will hear and send you the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And that is your down payment on everlasting life. You become now a temple of the living God. You become your own high priest, and you become a joint heir with Jesus Christ in everlasting salvation. Your heart will turn. You will become a new person mentally, spiritually. You will find joy, happiness, peace you have never known, and you will find it easier to understand Scripture, the Bible, what God is telling you.
20 seconds.
The Holy Spirit to guide you. So, that's what you need to do. Do it tonight. And how many minutes? What do we have left?
We got 15 now.
15. Well,
I'll tell you, we want to thank everybody for listening this week. And we want to. Okay, now let's start saying it, guys. Good night.
Good night.
God bless. And always. Keep fighting the fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Three very good reasons if you're doing some big home improvements to call Empire Window Company. I'm with Bill Gardner.